The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. And welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live this evening by email, email her right now, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Welcome, everyone, to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. Thank you for joining us this evening as we continue to discuss down-to-earth tips, advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes, and squeak in as much landscape design as I can when I can. I know everybody's itching to get out into the garden, so that's a good thing.
I did.
Did you?
Yes.
Excellent. No,
you told me this weekend.
Yeah, I did. I told you. You texted me and asked me if it was okay, so I gave you my permission. So
yes.
So that is good. So so definitely when we're all waiting patiently for planting, so we can kind of clean up a little bit. We can't really start planting anything.
No, it's clean up mostly.
Yeah.
Lots of raking.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I don't understand? This is normally typically a decent weekend to start that stuff. But yet, our garbage pickup was this morning. You would think already they'd let us have the bags out, right?
I was thinking that, too.
It's like 2 or 3 weeks yet before they allow it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know, it is. It is crazy. Yeah. Because there's still all, like, the, when I empty my urns, and I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
Of all the evergreens and stuff.
But you would think mid-April, you know, if you have nothing, you have nothing. But at least give us the option, right?
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Agree.
I guess we should talk to our counselor.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
And I'm sure not only are we all itching to get in the garden, everybody's itching to get at nurseries and in garden stores, that type of thing. So I am excited to have our guest on this evening from Peterborough. Brenda Ibey owns the Avant Garden Shop, which is located in downtown Peterborough on Sherbrooke Street. The Avant Garden Shop offers gifts, supplies for gardeners, and backyard birders. We're going to talk about birding again tonight. Brenda also focuses on finding many unique and Canadian-made products to help support artists in the community and across the country. And the shop, her shop has been open since 2002. And definitely with a gardening background, Brenda is from Lakefield, and her love of gardening in the outdoors led her to an education at Niagara College in the field of horticulture, where she received her diploma in horticulture. With her store, she was named and received very many rewards, it looks like, a lot of awards, including Best Retailer in 2012, an Epic Ventures Award, and also a Best Promotions Award for her work with the Peterborough and Area Garden Route. I'm so glad that she's also affiliated with horticultural societies. She was given an OHA District Service Award from the Lakefield Horticultural Society. And Brenda is also the host of an informational segment called The Garden Gate on the new CHEX Daily. Her show airs alternate Fridays between 5 and 6 on CHEX TV.
A TV star.
I know.
That's right.
It's a long bio. I hope Brenda's still there waiting for me.
Yeah.
You can also her links to her past episodes on her website, avantgardenshop.com, and her website is a wonderful website connected to the store. So last but not least, welcome to the show, Brenda.
Thank you so much. glad to be here.
Oh, good. I'm glad. And it was so lovely to meet you finally. We did at the Peterborough Garden Show a couple weekends ago.
That was an awesome show.
Was it? Have you recovered?
Barely. it was terrific. I was glad to see you there. Enjoying the show. There's so many vendors that come to that show. It's terrific for people to really get their fingers ready to get in the garden.
Absolutely. And what were the final tally? Do you think it was a better than...
I haven't heard from the show organizers yet, but from talking to other vendors, they definitely feel the numbers were up this year.
Yeah.
So I know in years gone by, it's been 5,000 or 6,000 people, so I'm thinking probably maybe 6,000 or 6,500.
No.
Yeah, so it was, it's a wonderful show.
Yeah, that's great. And you had a good weekend. I know when I had Pat on the show talking about it, because sometimes you conflict a little bit with Easter.
Yes,
and or with bad weather, and you had none of that. You had no Easter. It was chilly, but
it was chilly, which was a good thing.
Yes,
because if it had been this weekend when we were all out in our gardens cleaning them up, they wouldn't be at the show. So yeah, it was terrific. That it was kind of cool, but it wasn't so cold that we were freezing in the at the show either. It was quite warm inside.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it was a really good win-win as far as the all the things that could work out, you know, like the weather and the date. I think it was good. And I brought a friend with me who had never been. So
right.
She thoroughly enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, it's a terrific show. Many people say that they even feel it's nicer than Canada Blooms. It's more practical things that you can use in your own gardens. And you can purchase lots of things, which everybody seems to like to do.
Yeah, definitely. And I like that you're buying from smaller vendors as well.
Right. Yes.
And really supporting local. I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah, and you get the chance to talk to the owners, too. So if you have a question about hostas, you can talk to Dawn from Gardens Plus. Or if you want to talk about succulents, you can talk to Anna from Anna's Perennials. You know, they're right there. The owners are right there.
Yeah. No, it's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy did buy a Japanese maple from Anna.
Oh, yes.
And I know you were so busy, I could barely talk to you because everybody was wanting to get all that birding advice. So,
it was definitely really busy. And Saturday mornings are always the busiest. And I try and encourage anybody that doesn't like the busyness to go either Saturday after sort of 2 o'clock or even Sundays are a little quieter.
Yes, and Pat had given me that recommendation as well. So that's where Nancy and I ventured out on the Sunday. And
right.
We got to hear Carson Arthur speak as well as Jeff Mason.
Right.
But unbelievable. I see Jason or
Jeff,
thank you, on the agendas all the time. And I've never been able to see him
speak. Yeah, he's
awesome.
We've had him in Lakefield. And I think we're going to have him again next year as well. So, yeah, he's terrific.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. And do you have a good, active horticultural society there in Lakefield?
Yeah, very active. We celebrated 50 years as a group 2 years ago, 52 years. And, we have, at some of our meetings, we have as many as 80 people. That's about as many as we can fit in our space there. But we have really great meetings, really great speakers. I'm actually on the speaker committee, so I helped to find a lot of the speakers for the group. And in April of every year, we always have one speaker that's kind of what we call our extra special speaker.
Oh, yes.
And people have to pay to go to that meeting. And it was just 2 weeks ago when we had Darren Heimbecker from Whistling Gardens.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
And he was awesome. It's Canada's newest botanical garden. So
yeah.
He would be someone else for your show.
Excellent.
He'd be terrific to talk to.
Yeah, no, I think that would definitely be a good call for sure. Thank you for that tidbit. And I'm involved with the Pickering Horticulture Society as well, so I kind of do the marketing and the website and different things. So so just getting my hands wet too a little bit.
Yeah,
it's challenging. It's as much as you enjoy it, it's challenging when it kind of conflicts with your occupation sometimes, right?
Yes, well, fortunately for me, it's almost all the same thing. My occupation and my hobby are kind of the same thing.
Yes, I guess that's the same for me too.
Yeah.
So you've opened the shop in 2002. So was that something that it just happened by accident, or is that something you always wanted?
It kind of happened by accident, actually. I was working for Peterborough Greenup, which is an environmental organization in town, and a friend of mine had also been working there, and at a certain point he decided he wanted to open a business, and he was thinking of something else, and that wasn't going to work out just because the money involved was going to be way too much necessary. So I suggested gardening. So he looked into the research, and he actually opened the store. I was always a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about 7 years ago, I took over the business completely because he wanted to do something else again. But I was always involved. I was always a partner. And it just happened, and I love it. It's awesome. My customers are great. They're all gardeners, if you can imagine.
Yeah.
Spending your life with meeting new gardeners every day, or people that like to watch the birds in the backyard, and so they're really nice people, and it's awesome to, you know, get to know them, get to know their names. You know, you hear about them getting married, you hear about them having children, they bring their children in, they introduce them to either gardening or watching the birds.
Right.
And then you go through harder times with them too, when there's illnesses, when spouses die, somebody gets sick, and all kinds of things. It's something I remember way back, people saying, you'll really get to know your customers. And I felt guilty because I couldn't remember their names. I'm not great with names.
Yes.
But now it's been long enough, and I do remember people's names.
Excellent.
And I know a lot about them now. And it just makes it enjoyable to go to the store every day. I don't even call it work anymore.
Yeah,
it's just very enjoyable.
There's, because I worked at a nursery for several years, as you know, it's not the same but similar, and people, when they're buying plants, everybody's in a good mood for the most part, right? Like you might be grumpy and hungry when you're at the grocery store and or when you're at a big box store, you know, you're stressed out because you can't find that part, but really when they're shopping for plants or shopping for their outside, everybody's usually in a good mood. So it's definitely great to get to know your customers
and
love helping them spend money on their gardens.
And to pick something out that they are going to treasure.
Yeah.
And that's what I aim for at the shop too, is I don't want to just sell them something just so I can make money. I want them to find something that's going to, you know, whether it's a gift, that it's going to be really appreciated by the person receiving the gift, or if it's for themselves, that it's going to enhance their own life. I'm not in it for the big bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's neat. And so this spring must be a busy time.
Yeah. Once the garden show kind of comes into view and we get past the garden show, then it kind of just explodes. The last 2 weeks I've pretty much sold out of all my bird seed, which it's, you know, I keep ordering more and more every week. But I think we had that little cold snap, and so people were after the bird seed. And so, yeah, so there's that. That carries me through the whole year, but now it's starting to think about decorating the outside and finding things that they can put into their garden, like sculptures or wall art or, you know, different things like that. And they need the tools, of course, and the gloves and the watering cans. And yeah, so it gets really busy this time of year.
Excellent, excellent. What are some of your top, aside from the bird stuff, which I definitely want to talk birding in a little bit, but anything new and exciting that's kind of flying off the shelves?
Well, I always have a lot of customers coming in for the wall art, and it's outdoor wall art. Because it's hard to find nice stuff that isn't, you know, made in China. Like, a lot of stuff is made in China. It's just kind of tacky, and it's the same everywhere, and it falls apart. And I have a lot of wall art that's from across the country. I have a lot from B.C., and different oak trees and
lovely
and different like there's cats and birds and all kinds of interesting things that you can put on trees, but they're tasteful. And then I have some other art that's from Guelph, and it's kind of a rusty style, and again, Canadian artists, a couple, they make these pieces, and they have a business of their own as well, and a retail shop plus the wholesale business, and it's beautiful rusty wall art. Some people like the rust, some don't. And then I have another line that's very popular, and it's from an artist in Beamsville, down by St. Catharines.
Okay.
And the nice thing about his, he has these big panels of trees, and sort of a scene with trees and a sunset and water, and they're powder-coated steel. And a lot of people don't realize when they buy metal, that in most cases, you probably know this with your experience, that if metal goes outside, unless it's powder-coated steel, it's going to rust.
Right.
And if you like the rust, then that's great.
Yeah.
Because it can create a really interesting character to the
piece.
But if you really don't want it to rust, you have to put like a clear coat on it every year, maybe even twice a year. But with the powder-coated steel, you don't have to do that because the paint is basically baked right on there and it's treated so that it doesn't rust. And that makes those particular pieces from Floyd Elzinga very popular.
Okay. And people like that sometimes, because I know you're right, the rustic rust look is nice.
Yeah.
But sometimes having that clean, like still shiny object in the garden is lovely. And a lot of people are maybe more hesitant to get that because they're afraid it is going to rust.
Yeah,
so.
And I don't know if the rust side in their brain is that something that they're looking at that they don't like the look, or they're worried it's going to just start to fall apart.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know exactly what the relationship is, because I do like rust.
Yes, I do too. And then it kind of goes verdigris, right? That gets that greenish. It kind of doesn't it usually kind of transition a little bit?
Copper would go that green color.
Okay.
But any kind of metal, that it'll just start to rust. And sometimes I do admit, like if it's used by it and it's kind of a silver color, and you're halfway through the rusting process, and sometimes it doesn't really look very good, and you have to wait until it's fully rusted.
Yeah.
And there are some tricks you can do to actually rust something up a little quicker. But I think a lot of people do like the powder-coated steel, too. Also, when it doesn't, if you're hanging it on, say, like a wooden wall outside, the rust doesn't come off of the object onto your wall.
Yes.
When it's powder-coated. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the fence. Fence or the side of your house type
exactly,
of thing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So you must have a good-sized area there
at
the store.
Yeah, my walls are covered with wall art, and my husband came up with an interesting way to hang things this year, so I'm able to get a lot on the walls.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's a bit overwhelming. My wind chimes, they're fairly popular, too, at this time of year. So we have lots of wind chimes, and they're from Woodstock chimes. I have two lines, actually, the Woodstock chimes and some from Prince Edward Island. So I like the Canadian-made ones, but, again, they're a little more rustic, and they're very heavy. And then the Woodstock chimes are just a really nice tone and a really high quality. So those are popular items, too, especially this time of year.
Yeah, and I think it's wonderful that you support local artists, both local in our area as well as across Canada, because people are always looking for that, and it's not always easy to find.
No, it's not. And even for me, it's always a challenge. But as much as possible, I try and I get Canadian-made, and we go to some different shows, but in a lot of the shows, it's all just made overseas kind of stuff. So, but as much as possible, do Canadian. I attend a lot of like craft shows to try and find something. When I'm traveling, I look around to see if there's any artists that might pop out at me that might work in the store. And it does. You're getting something that's got some meaning behind it because you know something about the artist. And they've worked hard at what their craft is, and you're getting something that's quality. It's usually one of a kind because they make them one at a time.
Yeah.
But it's also a challenge because sometimes the artists change what they want to do. They may not want to make that particular item anymore, and it was like, oh, that was such a nice item.
Right.
Or maybe they've bought a different business and they've moved on, or somebody passes away, you know, that happens too, or they get older. And so it's like, oh, I can't get that anymore. And it's really sad.
Yeah, but that I think it's also adds some value to when they do purchase it from you, that knowing that it's not like something you can get from a box store that's going to be back in stock again next week or next year.
And you don't see, if you give it to Mary and then all of a sudden you see that Jane has one, it's like, oh, well, wait a minute.
that's true too. I think people like to have, I noticed that even with garden design, right? I mean, people, you know, ask me questions over the phone and it's like, well, no, I really need to see your space because you don't want the same exact thing that your neighbor has, you know, not every house, it used to be every house had, a weeping mulberry and now every house wants a burgundy Japanese maple. Yeah. And it's kind of like, really, let's think outside the box here a little bit.
Skyrocket junipers on the side.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. Mugel pines on the windows. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely, I think that's a good thing is to know where you can get some original, original products.
Yeah. And I'm constantly looking, like we like to travel, my husband and I, and this year we're actually going to Newfoundland, and I'm hoping to be able to find something there that I can bring back to the shop. And I'm not sure. I've seen, you know, there's some folk art kind of things, but whether it's, I also have to look at it and say, well, is that something that's affordable for my customers?
Right.
I can't sell something that's $1,000 or $500. Yeah. That just isn't what people are going to be spending on things for the garden. But So yeah, we're hoping to travel and maybe find something there. Looking forward to it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, and a good excuse to travel, right?
Exactly.
to find new products and things like that. But I think that's a very good thing. Let me tell our listeners your website.
Okay.
Is avantgardenshop.com.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
And you do have a list of all your artisans there.
Yeah, most of them are on there.
Okay.
The website was updated recently, but I still have lots of things to add to it.
Okay.
So some of the featured artists are there. And then I've probably got close to 100 different artists in the shop, and so things come and go. So
yes.
There's I don't know, maybe there's 20% or so listed on the website. But
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if anyone's looking for something or if maybe there's an artisan that's listening that they can contact you that way too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You never know.
And I've actually had, it's kind of interesting, I don't know who the customer is, but one of my customers vacations in St. Martin, New Brunswick.
Oh.
And when she was there, she saw these really cute little earrings made by an artist by the name of Gwen Buchanan. And Gwen contacted me by the recommendation of this customer to say, I hear you might be interested in my earrings.
Excellent.
So she sent me a catalog, and I've ordered them, and I've had them in the shop now for a couple of years.
Oh, wonderful.
So
see?
I told you I have awesome customers.
That's right. You sounds like you do. And you never know, right? The
no.
more you spread the word.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And I think that's an attraction, because I know my son actually goes to school in the U.S. and different. So we haven't certainly not looking for garden products for him, but I know there's his friends like any maple products.
Oh yeah,
you know there's different things, and sometimes you go to look for them, and it's like, well, I'm sure the store, you know, they kind of have them at different times of the year, but not always.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so I know there's usually and then I had another friend who was going to England to visit family, and she's trying to collect, you know, Canadian things to take to England. So
yeah.
There's stuff that we want to enjoy, but they also make great gifts
for
others.
Yeah.
So
we do recommend to people a few different things in the shop for when they are traveling, because you want something that's lightweight and you want it to be made in Canada
yeah.
and look Canadian. So we have actually some really cute glass coasters.
Oh, okay.
They have wildflowers on them, but then they also have maple leaves on them. And that's made by a gentleman from Barrie. And they've been very popular, and I've actually shipped them to Australia, to England, down into the States, because I do have an online website as well. And
okay.
It was interesting because this one gentleman contacted me, and he said he and his wife had been on their honeymoon in Canada, and in Ottawa they picked up these coasters, and something happened when they were back home, and a couple of them were broken. So for their anniversary, he was looking to have some sent so that he could give them to her for anniversary as a surprise.
Oh, that's
so
neat.
That was all the way to Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty surprising how far the website can travel.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's great. Well, I'm so glad you can join us today and tell our listeners all about your store. And even though I visited you at the show, I'm really hoping to get to the actual store this summer as well. So that would be great.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. So why don't we, I'm looking forward to talking about your garden gate segments and birding.
Okay.
But why don't we pause for a commercial break and we can talk more about that as soon as we get back. So thank you. You are listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. We will be right back.
Are you currently looking for home, automobile, business, or life insurance? And live in the Durham, Ontario region, but you are just not sure where or who to turn to? Relax. The answer is WO Insurance Brokers. WO Insurance Brokers offers personalized service with very competitive rates. And we also offer monthly payment plans, making your insurance needs less stressful. And we guarantee we will be there to support you at the time of your claim. Policy discounts are also available. So what are you waiting for now? Call WO Insurance Brokers at 905-436-9090 or 855-358-9090. Visit our website at www.woinsurancebrokers.com for more information. Remember, when you need a caring and professional insurance brokerage. WO is for you. At WO Insurance Brokerage, we are your hometown broker. Have your comics seen better days? Maybe they need a visit to the Comic Doctor. Get your comics pressed and dry cleaned using the Comic Doctor's chemical-free method, which diminishes or removes unwanted dents, bends, spine roll, and other defects, improving the appearance of your books. Not only will they look great, but their grade and value will increase. This just in. The Comic Doctor is now an authorized CGC submission agent. Let us take the guesswork out of submitting your comics to the CGC for grading. Make an appointment with the Comic Doctor today. Check us out online at thecomicdoctor.com. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live in the studio right now, send her an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary. We are back here on Down the Garden Path. We're joined by Brenda Ibe from the Avant Garden Shop in Peterborough, Ontario. Welcome back, Brenda.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your segment that you do called The Garden Gate?
Yeah, so it's just a short 3-minute segment on the New Czechs Daily, which is Czechs TV.
Okay.
I try and invite guests as often as possible. It's not always possible, mm-hmm. but it's just information either about birding, a little bit maybe about gardening, quite often about things that I actually carry in the shop. But it's informational and educational. Like the most recent one, I talked to a local naturalist, Drew Monkman, about swallows and why we're not seeing so many swallows and purple martins and chimney swifts anymore. So we chatted about that. But it's just a short segment, and then I put them on my website and on my YouTube channel, and there's 87 of them up there now.
Wow.
So I've been doing it for about 3 years now, so... It's a great little segment, and it's, like I say, it's informational, so there's always something on there that's of interest to people, and when they come in the shop and maybe say, like, I want to attract cardinals to my garden, how do I do it? You know, I'm happy to explain it, but then I give them a little card that also directs them to one of the Garden Gate segments so they can see it again, and people find that quite helpful, and it's nice they're short.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yes, I've received a bird feeder finally for Christmas.
So nice.
I've been talking about it forever, and we kind of have an odd house in that, most of it's a front yard as opposed to a backyard. So, you know, trying to find the exact, you know, place that you can actually enjoy seeing the birds,
right.
You know. And I think, you know, we had a squirrels attack at the one spot. So now we found a new spot, and it's been quite lovely. And I noticed all the goldfinches were there this morning.
Oh, nice.
So definitely getting a lot of activity, and I have it on a shepherd's hook. I do have a good squirrel proof one.
Okay.
But still what they were doing was jumping from the roof and shaking it. And then, you know, they are smart little guys, aren't they?
Yes, they are smart, but we are smarter.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. Squirrels, they can jump up from the ground 4.5 to 5 feet.
Mm.
So quite often people have shepherd's hooks that are just too short, and they can't get the baffle up high enough. And then they can jump sideways 10 to 15 feet.
Yeah.
So if there's a deck rail or a tree or something that they can launch themselves from, they'll do it.
Yeah, for my roof, definitely.
Yeah, your roof. And then you have to think about power lines or clothes lines. above where the feeders are, and because they'll drop down from that as well. If you block off one route, they'll try for another.
They'll try for another one.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. So it is a challenge, but we can beat them.
So you carry a lot of bird feeding products.
Yes, we carry lots of different bird feeders, whether it's for finches or cardinals, blue jays. Lots of squirrel-proof feeders. The Brome line of squirrel busters are my most popular.
Oh, okay.
And then I have the pole systems where you can build, you know, a pole with lots of different arms on it to hang all your feeders on with baffles. And then I have shepherd's hooks. I have deck clamps so you can put it right off your deck if you don't have a big enough yard to put it in the garden. So, and then we offer as much advice as possible when somebody's coming in to say, well, this might work for you or that won't work.
Yeah.
And because squirrel proofing is really important because it's at my place, I have squirrels, but there's just two of them basically, and they're on the ground and they clean up what's on the ground.
Okay.
If you start feeding them, the problem is they breed and you have more squirrels all the time.
Yeah.
And they can cause a lot of damage, not only in your gardens, as you probably know, like they love tulips.
Yeah.
You know, it's really disappointing to spend lots of your money on tulip bulbs in the fall, and then the squirrels just chew them as soon as they come up.
Yeah.
Or they dig them up.
Or they dig them up all winter, yeah.
Yeah, and that's so frustrating. So, and they'll bury things all over. They'll dig your plants up out of the pots, and you might not notice it right away, and then you go back a day later, and they're dead. Your little plants are dead and dried out. So it is bad, and if they get into your attic, they can chew your wires. I spoke to an electrician one time who was doing some work in the shop, and he said it can be thousands and thousands of dollars in damage if these squirrels chew the wires. And I had one customer tell me that she was told that the insurance companies won't actually cover, some insurance companies won't cover repairs if you've been actively feeding squirrels.
Ah.
So that's something to keep in mind as well. If you're encouraging these rodents to be hanging around your house and then they chew your wires, you know, you can't really expect the insurance to cover those thousands of dollars. So it is important it's okay to feed them, let them eat the stuff that's on the ground. You know, then there's enough food just to sustain those one or two.
Yeah.
But not a dozen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, is there some type of bird seed that they like less?
Yeah, my supplier is Mill Creek Seed, and they came up with a blend. They basically watched the squirrels to see what they didn't like, and they call it squirrel-free. And it has safflower, millet, and canary seed, Niger seed, some of the little seeds. So they basically watched them, they saw what they didn't like, and they put that in this blend. And the squirrels don't like it. If they're really hungry, they'll eat it, but they generally avoid it, and they go somewhere else where they can get something a little better. And then the little trick that came from that was that they found out also that the starlings and grackles don't really like that blend.
Ah, that's good.
Because that's the next problem when it comes to feeding the birds, is in the spring, usually March sometime, all of a sudden these hordes of blackbirds show up, and they just devour everything. And so it's like, oh, I beat the squirrels, now I have to beat these birds. And they, again, they're just overwhelming, and they scare all the other birds away, so you don't get to see your finches and your cardinals and your blue jays. And anyway, so they don't like that blend of seed either. And again, it's one of these situations where if they don't have anything else to eat, they might eat it. Or sometimes they go through it a little bit to figure out, you know, like, where are those sunflower seeds that I like so much, right?
Yeah.
And but at my place, I've got it figured out, so I don't have any squirrels, and I don't have any grackles and starlings. So
excellent. And a good feeder is key to that, too, right, because of the pressure?
Yeah, so the Squirrel Buster Plus,
yes,
you can adjust the tension on the part where the birds sit. So there's a little ring with perches, and the birds sit on that, and it's adjustable. So when the squirrel gets on it, it definitely closes, and they lose access to the seed. But when a bird gets on it, they don't weigh an awful lot. Like the chickadees, they only weigh maybe half an ounce, and a cardinal, he's maybe 2 ounces, 2.5 ounces. But a grackle is 4 ounces.
Mm.
So you can adjust the tension on it to make it so that the grackle is too heavy. Now the starling, he's only 3 ounces, so you have to do something else for that. You have to actually take the perches and the ring right off. because he's not heavy enough to trigger it, but
okay,
definitely can keep those grackles off.
Excellent. Well, it's great to know you've got all this advice, too,
yeah.
when people come in.
Yeah, oh, for sure, and we've learned over the years as well, because it's been 13 years now, and
mm-hmm.
Every time there's a new problem, then we try and figure out what the answer is, and my supplier of most of my birding things, he's awesome. Wild Bird Trading, and he's been on a couple of my segments, I think maybe number 68 and 69. He's
okay.
been on a couple of the segments talking about the bird seed and the quality of the bird seed and suet and some of the feeders and things. So he's great, and if I ever have any questions, I can go to him as well because he's been in the business much longer than I have.
Yeah, excellent. Are there any new products bird-related that you see or new trends at all?
There is... like at this time of year, you see a lot of problems with birds flying into the windows.
Mm.
And we have these stickers. They're called Window Alert. And they work pretty well, but you pretty much need to cover your windows in these stickers,
oh.
which can get kind of expensive.
Yeah.
So there's a new product coming out. I don't know the name offhand. I'm still doing some research into it. But it's actually a sheet that you can put onto your windows, and it's opaque, so you can still see through it. But every 4 inches is a little dot that's reflective, and so
oh, okay.
birds can see ultraviolet.
Yeah.
And these dots are ultraviolet, and they'll see. Oh, that's like a stoplight. I can't go in
yeah.
there. And so I'm hoping to get some of that in, and that's actually on an upcoming Garden Gate episode as well. So that will be on, I think, next week, Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
But yeah. that's one item, and there's things always changing. There's
mm-hmm.
always new hummingbird feeders and new oriole feeders. Mm-hmm. Orioles, they're a bird that likes to actually drink nectar, but they love oranges and they love grape jelly. So some of the newer feeders you're seeing actually hold the grape jelly.
Oh, okay.
And they just love that grape jelly. They go crazy for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how about bird houses?
Yeah, bird houses, they haven't changed a lot over
right.
the years because it's kind of specific as to what the bird actually likes.
Mm-hmm.
And but I do have a local gentleman, he's just from Lakefield, and he makes terrific bird houses because each bird basically has a certain size hole that they will go into. Like wrens, they like a smaller hole. A chickadee likes a certain size hole. And then a blue bird, they like a little bit of a bigger hole. And then also the hole has to be a certain height from the base of the birdhouse up to the hole. Every bird likes it a little different. And some of his houses have, you can open them up for cleaning. That's important. If you're looking for a birdhouse, it's also good to look for screws as opposed to staples.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because staples just don't hold it as well, and they're usually a thinner wood. They're just
yeah.
a poorer quality construction.
Yeah.
So he uses brass screws, which don't rust. You can open them up so you can clean them, as I mentioned. They have predator guards on the outside so that the predator birds and cats can't reach in to get
okay.
the baby birds out.
Yeah, that's handy.
Very handy, yeah. They have ventilation, they have drainage holes, easy ways to put them onto a post or a tree or whatever you're thinking of putting them on. So he's done a really amazing job to construct these
okay.
birdhouses. And he's also been on one of my Garden Gate episodes, I think, back really early, back
yes.
Probably 3 years ago
oh,
already.
Good. So he sounds like he's thought of all the things
yeah.
he needs. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He does an awesome job.
Oh,
on them.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great because it is true that you get what you pay for.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And because they're out in the elements, you know, it is worth if you're going to do that and try to have a safe little house for that birds.
Oh yeah.
Then
yeah.
it's got to stand the test of time, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because once the birds are in there making a nest, you can't go and put a little patch on it or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They're ready to have their babies. And that's one thing to think about, too. People may not realize you shouldn't put a birdhouse near where your bird feeders are because it's kind of like a little nursery, and you wouldn't want to have a nursery next to a gymnasium or
right.
something because it's too noisy for them, and they prefer to have it in a little bit of a quieter spot. And they also prefer muted colors, so, you know, grays or let the wood go a natural color.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people like to have these bright orange or bright yellow birdhouses, and They're decorative.
Yes.
But the birds don't really like them.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. They didn't want to tell everybody, I'm over here. My babies are over here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, definitely.
Yeah.
So much is made in the gardening world right now about pollinators.
Right.
And I'd consider hummingbirds a pollinator as well as, you know,
sure,
butterflies, that type of thing.
Yep.
Have you found that as a trend or what people are looking for coming into the store as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's been for many years, but bees definitely are hot topics right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have, again, from this same gentleman, from Gary, bee houses, and they're for where they lay their eggs, basically, their larvae. And you can take them apart and clean them and everything every year. But we have those, which are nice to put into your garden. I also have a really neat, we'd seen it online, a picture of a bee chalet. You may have seen it. And you can fill the base of it with all kinds of debris and stuff that the bees will lay their little eggs in. But the top is filled with soil and succulents.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so it's a really neat one. I showed a picture to a friend of mine, and he came in the next day. He built one, and he brought it in.
Oh, my goodness.
So I have one available at the shop.
Oh, wow. So, I'll have to look for that. That's What is that called again?
I just call it a bee chalet.
Bee chalet,
so it looks like a little house with a roof, and it's a succulent roof, like a green roof.
Yes, yeah.
And then a space underneath where you can put all the little bits that the bees will lay their eggs in.
Oh.
And bees are pollinators as well.
Yeah.
And these are the solitary bees. They're not the ones that will sting.
Right.
And it's just for pollinators. So if you have a fruit tree or something that, a fruit garden, maybe some raspberries, and you need some extra pollination, if you encourage these solitary bees to come, then you'll have more fruit on your tree.
Oh, excellent.
But yes, we do sell we have lots of hummingbird feeders, oriole feeders, and even butterfly feeders.
Right.
So they all drink the nectar, and the butterflies like a little bit of fruit as well, and some great oriole feeders too. And orioles are a little harder sometimes to keep around because they tend to follow the bloom of the flowers.
Okay.
Some years they'll stick around, but other years they'll just continue to go north.
Right.
So you might see them for 2 or 3 weeks, and then they're gone. And then they've gone up north. Hummingbirds, they stick around, and they're pretty habitual, but it can be sometimes difficult to actually get them to come to your feeders.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's pause for another commercial break, but I want to talk a little bit more about hummingbirds because they're so popular when we get back. So you're listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. We'll be right back. When we were at our high, waiting for you in the hotel
at night. The Red Snapper Cafe in Ajax is your Caribbean family restaurant, specializing in great breakfast and lunch specials and favorite delicious Caribbean dinners. Eat in or take out and be amazed of the authentic Caribbean fare that we have to offer just for you. We also cater for your very special events. From private parties, weddings, anniversaries, and corporate events, the Red Snapper Cafe does it all at very reasonable prices. We are conveniently located at 71 Station Street in Ajax, Ontario. Please call us and ask us about our daily specials at 905-686-8661. That's 905-686-8661. The Red Snapper Cafe and Family Restaurant, where all of our cherished customers are always asking, "Hey, Mama, what's cooking?" Are you currently looking for a part-time professional career, but you are just not sure what to do or where to go to make a great part-time living? Well, if you live in the Durham, Ontario region, then Durham Ways Bus Lines is the absolute professional career just for you. We offer complete comprehensive training, an excellent starting salary, and ongoing support in your choice to be a professional school, corporate, or charter transportation specialist. With flexible hours and many great benefits, Durham Ways Bus Lines is that perfect part-time career for retirees, housewives, or anyone looking to make great extra money with a professional and reputable company. Why not call us today at 905-433-1392 or visit our website at www.durhamwaybuslines.ca. At Durham Ways Bus Lines, we are the safe way.
something that I can't quite explain. I'm so in love with.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. And now, right back to Joanne.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone, to Down the Garden Path and with my guest, Brenda Ibey, with the Avant Garden Shop from Peterborough, Ontario. And we are talking birding in this little segment of the show, and especially hummingbirds, because people love them. They're so popular, but yet getting a little challenge getting them into your garden.
It can be, yes. Whether you want to, you know yourself, lots of plants.
Yes.
That's always the key.
Yep.
Hanging baskets, quite often I recommend if people are putting a feeder out for the first time, a hummingbird feeder, to put something red beside it, whether mm-hmm. it's a red scarf or a red fuchsia or a red geranium, because they're really attracted to that red color. And once you've got them kind of near to your feeder, then they should continue to come back for it. But it's also important to make sure that that feeder is clean.
There we go. I'm glad you said that, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. That's the trick.
Because yes.
If it's dirty, they won't drink it.
Right.
Some people worry that they're going to kill the bird because they've got bad food, but that's not the case. The bird will just go away.
Yeah.
He won't drink it. But if it has ants in it or bees in the nectar or it's just gotten foggy, they won't drink it. So there are certain kinds of feeders that you can get that can keep the bees out, and they have ant moats, and so they, the ants can't get through the ant moat. So that's an important thing.
Right, and so it is a commitment. Like you can't just fill it with sugar water
yeah.
in May and then go away and
no,
think, you know. So no. There, it is a commitment. You yeah. have to check on it. So
yeah.
you know, it's not for the faint of heart. But
no, there's a lot of work involved.
Yes,
because in the hot weather, you're going to have to change that liquid probably every 3 days or so,
yes.
or 4 days. And you need to get the feeders out early. That's always the question is, mm-hmm. when do I put it out? When mm-hmm. do I put it out? And I usually say May 1st.
Okay.
I used to say around Mother's Day, but I've found that that's almost too late.
Oh,
it seems
okay.
that they're coming a little sooner. But
yeah.
there is a really cool website. I think it's hummingbirds.net. And there's a map on there that you can actually see. People report into the guy that runs this site, and it'll show you where the birds are. Where they've been reported. So,
excellent.
They were around the border about the end of, when was I thinking, around the end of March.
Okay.
And they're starting to come north. And I had somebody, he thought he saw an oriole in his feeder, in his garden this week. So
okay.
I don't know, that seems a little early.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause orioles and hummingbirds usually come around the same time.
Okay.
But yeah, it's important if you put a hummingbird feeder out, get it out early and be persistent with mm-hmm. cleaning it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and refilling it with good liquid.
Okay. And I'm sure just like the plants, the birds are a little bit confused because, you know, it did snow. Like today was, what, 24 degrees?
Yeah.
And yet, you know, last week it snowed.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were really worried about the robins there
yes.
last week when there was snow because they saw all these robins. But robins, they don't eat bird seed. They eat fruit. So if anybody's ever worried, they can put a few blueberries out or
okay.
a little bit of fruit. But robins may actually stay through the winter. They don't always go south.
Yeah.
It's more of the food supply that they're worried about
yeah.
than the actual temperature.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they seem to really, you know, fill out and kind of get ready. Like the squirrels, right? It's like they hunker down for,
yeah.
for colder weather type
yeah.
of thing. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Well, is there anything else? I can't believe our time is flying by. Is there anything else you'd like to promote as far as the store or anything else that you're up to?
Well, I don't know. There's all kinds of wonderful things there. I got a new line of tools in recently, which you would appreciate. They're made in Holland.
Ooh.
And they're called DeWitt.
Okay.
Good Dutch name. And if you look him up online on Facebook, he posts beautiful pictures every day. They're just lovely. But these are hand-forged tools, so
okay.
they make them each by hand. They don't bend. They're very durable. I think he's even got a lifetime guarantee on them.
Wow.
So, I'm hoping to add a few more to the line. They're a little more expensive, but they're going to last you forever. I'm hoping to maybe get some footage and have something about that tool on a future Garden Gate episode. But either that or I'm just going to have to go to Holland and visit them.
Exactly. And so you have a Facebook page? And
Yep, we have a Facebook page. So it's just facebook.com/avantgardenshop. I have a YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/avantgardenptbo.
Okay.
I'm on Twitter as well. The website is avantgardenshop.com. I think I'm even on Pinterest, but that's another one that's a little hard to do.
Yes,
all
for sure. Now, can people order your products over the website?
Yeah, there is a shop drop-down menu on
Excellent.
The website.
Okay.
And you can go just to shop online. You can cruise through. There's artists. There's a few fair trade items. There's a for the birds section, gardening supplies, indoor decor, a made in Canada, which repeats a lot of the things that are with the artist, but
okay.
if you're specifically for looking for something made in Canada, you can go there.
Oh, that's wonderful, because our listeners are from all over.
Yeah.
So it's great to know that they can visit, especially that feature as far as the Canadian artisans.
Right.
So avantgardenshop.com.
Yeah, and then all my other contacts are right there on the website as well.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Well, my pleasure.
I think it's been great. And I do look forward to coming by and visiting you this summer as well.
That would
and
be terrific.
Yeah.
Maybe I can get some landscaping advice from you.
There you go. There you go. Do you carry any plants at all, or are you just...
I don't carry any plants. No. I'm actually part of a group called Garden Root, and I will direct you to wonderful places that, you know Dawn from
yes.
Gardens Plus.
Yeah.
And then there's Griffin's Greenhouses, Horling's Garden Center, Johnson's Greenhouses, Keenon Gardens.
Wow, so it sounds like I'm going to need a whole weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, I think, 8 of us on the Garden Route right now.
Excellent.
And it's a little tour people can do on their own to visit a bunch of different places. And we work together. Blossom Hill, that was the other one I forgot.
Yeah, I think that this industry is such a collaborative industry.
Yes.
I think that's one thing that really sets us apart. Even other landscape designers that I work with, and everybody's like, aren't you really, aren't you like competing? And it's like, there's more people than we can, you know, more business for that one of us can handle, right?
Exactly,
And sometimes you get stuck or you need advice or what do you think about this? And, you know, you really do need that. Contractors help us when we're, you know, we always say, you know, it's no fun to design something that can't be built.
Well, exactly.
you know,
you might not be able to lift those big heavy rocks.
Exactly. So I can design something that a customer wants, but if no one can build it, then what's the point? It really is a collaborative, very collaborative industry.
Yeah, and we've been doing this Garden Root group for I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years now, and it's worked really well. We advertise together in some of the magazines, and if I don't have something someone's looking for, I'll send them to the place I know that does, or if they want to go to just, you know, say like you're coming from out of town, it's like, well, I don't want to just go to the Avant Garden shop. Where else can I go? And I can say, well, go to Blossom Hill and see their beautiful delphiniums or their beautiful peonies, and or go to Horling's and see what they have in the native plants and things like that. So it's a wonderful way, because as a small business owner, it's hard to pay the fees that magazines want for ads.
For sure.
But as a group, we can do it collaboratively.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, that's great. And I think it's good that you've come up with that Garden Root. That's
very smart
marketing. So
for sure,
that's wonderful. Well, again, thank you very much for joining us. I hope our listeners found it very informative. And please check out, once again, Brenda's website at avantgarden.com. And we will speak to you soon.
Thank you so much, Joanne.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
So there you have it. I'm really looking forward to the Garden Route. I think you need to take Elaine, Gary. I think it sounds like a road trip.
Yes.
That she might enjoy as well.
It sounds like a beautiful shop,
it
right?
It does. It does. Yeah. So,
and
so,
we
yeah.
would be into that, because Elaine is actually really into birds in the backyard. She's always spotting birds, and she has a book.
Yep.
You know, you look up, oh, I think it's that. You
yeah,
know, so.
Yeah, that's great.
What do I know?
And I know I've been telling our listeners to really be patient and not get quite in the garden yet because of the soil being wet. But actually, things are pretty dry. Yeah,
that's,
I was really surprised.
That's right.
At how dry. Now, the plants, I'm still not seeing a lot of signs of life. You know, not that anything's dead, but things are definitely slow.
Bulb
but
things
that's okay.
are coming up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But Yeah, yeah, some bulbs are coming up. There's no hurry yet. There's no hurry.
No,
but
for sure. And but it is, you know, okay, if it's dry, if you've got a really wet area or a wet lawn, then mm-hmm. definitely please reconsider. And it looks like we're going to get some moisture near the end of the week.
Okay.
But, and the temperature today was fairly unseasonable, and I think it's going to get more just average temperatures the rest of the week, which is good. Because it is nice to have a spring, you know.
I don't
enjoy going right from winter to
hot.
You know, turn the furnace off and put the air conditioner on, right?
No,
like we
no.
some of those cool days where we can just have the windows open and that type of thing. So so that's good. So and landscape designs are certainly picking up.
Beautiful.
In fact, I'm like wearing out my shoulder and my right arm from doing too much at the computer. So I'm like icing my shoulder and
visiting goodness,
the chiropractor today.
Oh,
yeah, can you believe it? Repetitive. So it's a sad it's a sad life. And how could I complain when the poor contractors work so hard lifting all that stuff?
Yeah.
And here I am hurting myself by sitting at the computer. So
that's
I think it's no sympathy for me. Let me tell you.
I guess it's better to have that than no business. You know?
I guess for sure.
Right.
So for our listeners, please look for a designer in your area or give me a call at downtoearth.ca and I can help you and find the right plan and the right kind of consultation for you.
And Joanne is now giving us all permission to go out and rake.
Well, again, not if it's too wet. But certainly not time for grass seed.
Mm-hmm.
Nighttime temperatures are still too cool. So please don't bother. And even fertilizing, it's still a little early. No harm if you do it early, but it'll be a while before you see it start to green up. I know those commercials have been on for a while, but
grass seed and everything else, right?
Yeah, but they were booked so long ago. They didn't. Those commercials don't know that we had snow last week. So thank everybody for joining us. I'm looking very much forward to having Melanie from the Dahlia Flower Farm on the show next week to talk to her about how she started a flower farm.
That's
going to be a great show.
Yep.
And I wanted to thank everybody for joining me down the garden path here on Reality Radio 101.
You have been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.